Hey Hurdlers, Emily Abadi here with another installment of Hurdle Moment from Hurdle, a podcast to talk to everyone from entrepreneurs to top CEOs and athletes about how they got through tough times, hurdles of sorts, by leaning into wellness. Today, I'm going to be diving into a little bit more about the topic of injury. I got a lot of really great feedback from you guys after I posted the How to Deal with Injury Hurdle Moment. And I knew that I needed to get a little bit deeper. So I reached out to my friend Blake. He is a physical therapist at Bespoke Treatments in Midtown. Let me tell you, the guys there, the team there, they're outstanding. Highly recommend them. They have gotten me through hell and back when it comes to really scary injuries that come a little too close to race day sometimes. And I'm so grateful for them. So I reached out to Blake and we sat down and talked a little bit more about the topic of injury. Before we get to more on that, a quick shout out to Hurdle Moment's sponsor this week, Woolaco. Guys, last week's event that I had with Woolaco was one of the most special things I have done since starting Hurdle. You know, I have a lot of fun at these live podcast events, but this was different. You know, we went for that run, but then we came back and we had an open, vulnerable dialogue about some of the tough stuff that we're going through these days. I'd say the night as a whole just really embodied what Woolaco is all about. Not only making really great product, I personally am in love with their Walker crop tank, but also just the desire to connect with their consumer on a deeper level. If you're in the New York City area and you want to get involved, definitely check out their Woolaco Wednesdays. You can get all of the details on their early morning weekly workouts in the description to this episode. And now, as for what Blake and I get into today, it's a lot about when you need to take a break, when it's okay to push forward. He actually shed some light on this idea that if you have an injury, a lot of the time, the good news is that you can keep running, you can keep doing activity, although maybe not in the same capacity that you started out your mission. Like I said, September is all about running. It's all about marathon training for these hurdle moments leading up to a lot of these fall marathons. If you're running, if you have any questions you want answered, definitely reach out to me over DM or on email. It's at Emily Abadi at Hurdle Podcast. And of course, as always, emily@hurdle.us. With that, let's get to hurdling. All right, so injury. It sucks.
It's no fun.
Yeah. It's the worst. Have you ever been seriously injured?
Yeah. I've been, running's been taken away. I've been in a boot. I've had stress fractures. Pretty much we could go from the toes all the way up to the low back. You could probably name at least 10. Yeah.
Let's give the hurdlers a little bit of context on your personal running background, aside from now being a physical therapist.
Sure. Yeah. So I grew up playing pretty much every sport. Soccer was kind of the main focus until I got to eighth grade. And then middle school, eighth grade, I switched more to running. And then by high school, I was running full time. So cross country, track, mile, 2 mile. I was on a 4x8 team. Then I went to college, Indiana University, ran track and cross country there. Came here to New York and I took a nice solid 3-year retirement. And then just within the last couple of years, I've been getting back into the swing of things.
So how's it feel?
It's good. It's fun. It's fun to be in shape. It's not fun getting in shape, but it's a lot of fun when you're in the groove of things, and it's a great way to meet people too. I mean, that was one of the biggest reasons I jumped back into running, was being able to meet people, be part of that community again.
100%. Okay, so let's talk about running injuries. Running is tough, we know this. So it's like, I feel as though I'm constantly hovering on this line of like doing all the things and not doing enough things. And when I'm not doing enough, that's really more so I find when I'm getting injured, when I'm not warming up, when I'm not cooling down, when I'm thinking that I can run like once or twice during the week and then go kill a long run just because of time constraints.
Yeah.
Is that something you see often?
Totally. Yeah. Running's always kind of this delicate balance between doing too much or doing too little. I think what I've learned over the last 15 years of running is a nice way to kind of optimize my time, because time is always an issue for everybody in the working professional world. Especially when you're trying to juggle work and life and marathon training all at once. So figuring out what's the most efficient way to optimize your training so that you're not spending, 30 minutes on a warm-up, 30 minutes on a cool-down, and then you have to go out for an hour run.
Right.
Sometimes it's just being it's all about kind of figuring out what's the most important for that day and then knocking it out of the park.
Okay. So obviously there are different types of injuries, but on a broad scale, talk to me about like when dull pain versus regular pain versus extreme pain, like when should someone actually go seek out some help?
Yeah. So running injuries, they're going to happen. The aches and pains are just sort of part of being a runner. You know, you're constantly sort of trying to progress your training program, whether that's with speed or with volume. You're always changing these variables, trying to squeeze out a little bit of fitness. So anytime you throw a new variable into your training plan, you're going to have a little bit of an ache and pain, or at least you can expect to. It's not an uncommon thing. So aches and pains are normal with running. And they generally happen and last for about 1 to 3 days. And I'd consider that a normal pain. So something that lasts for up to 3 days, usually gets better with time and isn't anywhere over like a 2 to 4 out of 10 pain level. There can be some sharpness to it. It's just one of those things you kind of need to proceed with caution, and kind of monitor your symptoms daily. Was today better than yesterday? Was today worse than yesterday? What do I need to change, to kind of reduce the stress to this area? And then there's abnormal pain. And I consider those things that last for longer than a week, things that are over like a 5 or 6 out of 10 pain, things that are causing you to compensate or change the way that you're running. Those are things that are abnormal. And at that point, you might want to consider seeking a medical consult.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you want to let kind of linger for too long. On the opposite side of that, there's rest, which is almost always what people revert to. And it makes total sense that if a body part is being injured or hurts and, you know, hurts to run, let's just take like 2 weeks totally off. And the problem with resting is that while you're resting, and this is most often what happens, is the total rest without any sort of supplementation through strength or cross training, is that it's just a full kind of bed rest or no running or exercising. And then what happens when you do that is, as you've rested that 2 weeks, you might be out of pain, at least in the short term. But as soon as you get back to running, that tissue that you've been rehabbing and resting is in a weaker state than it was before. It's atrophied, whether it's bone, whether it's tendon or muscle, they all sort of respond in the same manner. And so when you go back to running in that weakened state, you're just at a heightened increase for future injuries. So you're kind of in this negative cycle of, you know, injury, I'm going to rest it, I'm weaker now, and then I get back to running and I injure myself again, and just kind of just this downward spiral.
So let's talk about then some of the most popular or commonly seen running injuries. Because I mean, right off the top of my head, I think about runner's knee. I think about shin splints. I think about probably piriformis syndrome. So what do you got for me?
Totally. Yeah. All the above. Those are all really important areas that we use for running. So, you know, the runner's knee, tendinopathies are a big one, tendonitis, whether it's in the Achilles or in the hip. IT band is sort of treated as a tendonitis as well. Runner's knee is a big one. Calf complex injuries, whether it's a strain or a tendonitis, that's another big one. Piriformis. All of these generally are overuse injuries where you've done too much too soon, too quickly, whether that's you've ramped up your intensity too much or you've ramped up your volume too much, or maybe you added hills that weren't part of your training plan a week ago. And a lot of them can be prevented by building up strength, right? So if you know you're prone to piriformis syndrome, or you know you're prone to runner's knee, there's definitely strengthening and capacity that you can build in these areas, whether it's the hip or knee or calf, to keep those injuries at bay and protect yourself from developing them in the first place.
So you stand by something called the guess and check method.
Yeah. No.
So talk to me about that.
Sure. Yeah. So like, for specifically like a returning to run sort of plan, it's there's no cookie cutter, there's no like calculated formula that you can use. When somebody's injured and they're not able to run to their full capacity, that load needs to be managed somehow, right? So you're not able to run at 100% like you used to. We might need to consider cross training, we might need to consider a run walk program. We needed to decrease the load into your total system so that your body has the ability to recover and adapt to the stresses and rehab exercises that you're doing. So a lot of the clients I have now are more of that return to run sort of client, where we're not just coaching for performance, but we're really kind of guiding through an injury. And so that requires a lot of guess and check, where it's a lot of the next day, like, hey, how'd you feel on the run yesterday? Because usually it's that next morning where you can kind of gauge as to if the day before was enough stress or too little stress. And so especially with those clients, it's a constant guess and check. You're constantly modifying things, changing certain variables, whether it's shoe wear or intensity or some of the exercises you're doing to specifically load these areas. A lot of times with like more of a performance type athlete, you can get away with like setting a week plan ahead of time and saying, okay, I'll speak with you in a week. But with the injury type stuff, so much can happen within a week. You know, you can be feeling great one day, and then the next day, you know, you don't feel so great. And so it's a conversation that you need to have with the person, figuring out what the day before did we do that might have triggered these sort of symptoms.
I think what people struggle with also is just this idea of cross training not being what was on the original plan.
Right.
I think often, you know, with an injury, whether it is maybe like a strained hamstring, or which is just a nightmare, or something again like shin splints where cross training is recommended, getting in the pool just feels so different than hitting a run. So for the people that have been advised or been offered that type of advice, what do you say to them?
Yeah, no, I think cross-training has a ton of really great benefit, and sometimes it's necessary even when you are healthy. It's a nice way to get a little bit of extra volume without loading your body too much and breaching that barrier. At the same time, it's terribly boring, you know, to sit on a treadmill or a bike or elliptical for an hour, because that's another thing. You can sit on these devices for, you know, 1.5 times what you'd normally be running because you're not loading your body to the degree that you would be if you were out there pounding your feet all the time. So to get a good aerobic benefit, you might need to go for a little bit longer on some of these cross-training machines. But it's a great way to still get stress into the body. That's one of the things we just kind of talked about was rest. Rest is almost never the answer, right? You should never just kind of be sitting and waiting out this injury to go down. Cross-training is an important piece. And what I always tell people is try and make it as specific to running as possible. So elliptical in my mind is kind of one of those things where you're still on your feet. It's a still reciprocal bipedal motion. You know, you're working the legs in a similar fashion, at least more similar to running than you would be, say, like swimming, right? So swimming is a total anti-gravity motion. Even aqua jogging, it's anti-gravity. It's similar, like you're turning the legs over, but it's not quite the same. So I usually try and get people on the elliptical if I can. That's usually my go-to. That's usually the one that people don't like the least, but
yeah.
I think it's one of the best.
Okay, so then the question arises, when do you draw the line between deciding, okay, I can manage this and push forward versus I need to abort?
It's totally person dependent, right? Depends on the injury, depends on the person's training age, you know, how long and how much experience they have with running. It depends on the severity of symptoms. So in general with tendinopathies, tendinitis sort of symptoms that have been longer than just that tendinitis acute phase, things that are kind of going more into a week plus, those tendinopathy issues, we're pushing a lot more than we used to in the PT world. Used to be just kind of, you know, ice, stretch, you know, roll, those sorts of things. But what we know about tendons is that they respond really well to loading. And so if you need to kind of strike that balance between loading too much and irritating the tendon and loading too little where the tendon's not getting stronger, really similar to a muscle where if you were to do 100 bicep curls, your arm would be sore, but, you know, you're going to get stronger. The muscle's going to grow. Really similar with the tendon. You're going to get some of that growth and some of that positive benefit and adaptation from a loading program. Again, it's something that can't be done too much, but it's also something you don't want to do too little of. So resting's no good, and then continuing to run or push things might not be too good either. That said, with some of the tendinopathy issues, I totally give people the okay to run, knowing that running itself is a positive stress. So you can consider running a plyometric exercise, right? You're bounding from one leg to the next. And in some ways, it's the best exercise for running, as long as it's dosed appropriately. So as long as the tendinopathy is mild enough and they're not experiencing any more than like a 5, sometimes 6 out of 10 pain, then I say tendinopathy is one of those things that you can sort of train through.
Mm-hmm.
As a general statement,
yeah.
But it's totally person dependent and case dependent, and you need to make sure that all that's backed up with the appropriate strength program as well, because that's what's laying the foundation for a lot of this. That's what's going to allow you to run in the future.
I know last year I was dealing with a little bit of hamstring stress, and all of the work that I did was completely contingent on just strengthening, whether it was single leg deadlifts or squats or just some things to kind of add some strength to that area. And within, you know, 2.5 weeks of consistent strength program, which is something that I should be doing all the time, I felt a dramatic difference in how it was handling my running.
It's a little counterintuitive, right? Because you've just strained this muscle by exercising it too hard. So why would the remedy be to put more exercise into it, right? But as long as it's dosed appropriately and you're not breaching that capacity that your hamstring can handle, it's going to respond well. That's essentially what happens when you do exercise to that limit, is you have these micro tears of the muscle fiber, and then the body responds by building that back stronger. So same thing with the hamstring tear. Yeah.
I think you're kind of a knight in shining armor by telling people that in most cases they can keep running.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I want to get on the phone with people. I want to have people into the office as soon as they have something, because almost always there's a training modification that can be made, or there's, a slight modification to their training that they can do that'll keep them running. So almost never the answer is, okay, you need to stop. Let's get you in the boot. Sometimes that's the case, but almost always, keep running. We might need to rethink about how you're doing it.
Any other last minute advice for upcoming marathoners?
Oh, gosh.
Got me a word of wisdom for departing?
Yeah, no, manage your loads appropriately. Strength, I cannot overemphasize strength. It should be at the cornerstone of not only your performance strategy, but also your rehab strategy too. If there's not some sort of strength component, then I think you're missing a big piece.
How often would you say that a runner should be strength training during the week?
Yeah, so with strength training, if I'm working with a more performance type athlete, I'll do 2 days of more of this maintenance core tissue capacity building, strength endurance type training. And then I'll try and get them in the gym twice a week for more of a performance type lift, more of those heavier Olympic deadlift style lifts, more created towards power output, neural drive, things like that. So more of the recreational runner, I would consider 3 to 5 to be a good thing to aim for, more of that core building tissue capacity. That's what's going to help protect you against injury.
So yeah, as you guys can see, Blake's got a lot of really great expert insight into what to do when you're injured. And I can't say enough good things about him or Bespoke Treatments in Midtown. Definitely check those guys out if you need anything and you are New York City based. Otherwise, like I said in my first Hurdle Moment about injury, I know it's tough and it can be frustrating, but know that there are resources out there for you to get better. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and all of this stuff, the tough stuff, the good stuff, it all happens to teach us something. You know the drill. At Emily Abadi, at Hurdle Podcast. Share this one with a friend, won't you? It'll make my day. Another hurdle conquered. Catch you guys next time.